It is Tuesday, May 22nd. I am your host, Vinny Massana, and this is the Axis Baseball Podcast. We have a lot to talk about. We're in the midst of a very exciting playoff right now. Yesterday was one of the most exciting days I remember. It's amazing because when you're doing this every day, you kind of get desensitized from some of the things that happen on a day-to-day basis in baseball because you experience it so much. But yesterday, I felt like a little kid, and all these walk-offs and exciting finishes, man. It was it made me feel like a little kid again. I got to say, it was pretty awesome. But we're going to get into all that. Before we do, I just want to say this podcast episode is sponsored by X Factor Meals. They're a Long Island-based company offering meal prep and sports-specific nutrition for athletes of all levels. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at X Factor Meals. So also, I just wanted to say that we have our Access Invitational 1 week from today, May 29th at Hofstra University, 4 p.m. start. I'm really excited for that. We have 41 kids in this game, Division I kids from all over the Northeast. Really excited about this. We've had the Battle of the Board of the last 2 years, and in total, 13 kids have gone on to sign professional contracts. So really excited about that, being able to continue the dreams for these guys that have sacrificed so much, laying it out on the line for 4 years, and maybe they never got the attention that they deserve. But I made sure to solicit the help of some friends to make sure that we got all the kids that should be in it. You know, guys like Giovanni Ding Kong, the reigning ECC Player of the Year, Rob Andreoli, who won it last year, Aaron Pinto, who had an amazing season for Stony Brook, Bobby Honeyman, who had the lowest strikeout rate in the nation from Stony Brook, Stephen Foster, who's a two-time Access All-Long Island player, Chris Weiss, who set the career record for saves at Hofstra, just loaded up and down with talent. Dan Schock from Sacred Heart, 13 home runs. Matt Diesel had 448 for Felician. So make sure to come down. Also, for you high school guys, we're going to be honoring the Access League MVPs. We did a vote about almost 2 weeks ago now for the top players from each league on Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk, and Catholic League. If you want to know who the winners are, you can look at our Twitter page. But they're going to be getting honored with plaques during the seventh inning stretch. So anyway, let's talk about yesterday. Unbelievable day. I was started the day off at Hop Hog. Bayport and Blue Point was in town to face them in an elimination game. I wanted to go there just because I haven't been to Hop Hog this year. They play a very exciting brand of baseball. Two great coaches in Josh Gudis and Jim Mosio over at Bayport Blue Point. And Robert Ray, a kid who is the League 6 MVP this year, really fell through the cracks. Uncommitted senior, lefty thrown in the low to mid-80s, great arm action. So I knew they were going to be in for a good one. And Kevin Sambuco, who the unheralded ace of Hop Hog, who won 6 games this year, throwing nothing more than 75-mile-an-hour fastballs and curveballs. And he has just rolled through the season. I watched him earlier in the year. I think he threw a 72-pitch complete game. Just doesn't even break a sweat. He throws a natural cut fastball that, you know, doesn't get a lot of swings and misses, but it's almost like there's an anti-repellent on the bats. Like, nobody can square it up. You don't see too many balls hit hard off him for a kid that really doesn't throw that hard. But he proved his mettle again yesterday. I mean, you see the Bayport Blue Point batters going back to the dugout and cursing and their frustration. You know, like Keith Hernandez says, certain guys in the big leagues are comfortable 0-for-4s, meaning that you feel like you should square up and barrel the ball up, and for whatever reason, whether it be command, keeping the ball low, from my angle, I felt like it was a really good view off to the first base dugout where you see that he doesn't throw anything above the knees. And if he does, it's way out of the strike zone on a purpose pitch. So that's really what makes Kevin Sambuco so effective. And he has no pulse out there. I mean, you see second and third, one out, it doesn't matter. He's a flatliner on the mound. And those are kids that tend to do well. You know, doesn't let the situation get to him. And very similar to Nick Fanti in the demeanor, obviously doesn't have the 91-mile-an-hour fastball and the devastating slider. But from a demeanor point of view, those are the guys that you want out there in playoff games because they're just never going to get nervous. And that's exactly what happened. Hop Hog got out to a 1-0 lead in the first inning. And Robert Ray shut it down after that. This was one of the quickest games you'll ever see. They played 11 innings in 2 hours. There's major league games that are in the bottom of the fourth inning after 2 hours. It was really unbelievable. Both pitchers were quick, threw strikes, and they were effective. A winning combination, no errors. Bayport Blue Point, obviously, that's been a hallmark for them. They won two state titles in a row in 2013, 2014. A lot of that is to do with pitching and defense, and that's exactly what they had today. Ray, I think he threw 107 pitches in 10 and a third innings. Really, there wasn't too many threats either. The only time there was a threat in the top of the fifth, Bayport Blue Point had second and third with one out. They tried to do a squeeze play. Francesco Garacci missed it, and there was an easy tag out at the plate. And then Zambuco ended up striking him out. So that was really the only threat. And then in the bottom of the 11th inning, the leadoff hit from Anthony Ferrara goes to second, goes to third on a bunt. And then Ryan Levenberg, the sophomore, hits a fly ball to right center field. I honestly looked away because off the bat, you know that all he needs to do is hit a fly ball in that situation. So when you see the outfielder who was drawn in start to turn his back and, you know, turn tails chasing after the ball, you say, all right, it's either a sac fly or it's a single. So I had actually assumed that he caught the ball, and then I found out later on that it dropped in. So credit to Ryan Levenberg, who, you know, any other situation in the game, that would have been probably a triple. But it dropped in there. He only needed to touch first base, and Hop Hog lives to see another day. It was disappointing for Bayport Blue Point, who was returning a lot of upperclassmen with experience this season. So I thought that even as a number nine seed that you might see them make a run should they get past those elimination games. But that's the nature of the playoffs. You're going to run into good teams. And in a situation like that where you're on the road facing another good team that just moved down from AA and Hop Hog, you know, it was a recipe for disaster for them. So all the credit in the world goes to Robert Ray to throw 11 innings and to be that efficient. You know, in the past, pitchers that throw 11 innings in a playoff game, it's typically because the coaches are afraid to make a move and they don't care about the consequences. But there's a statewide imposed pitching limit, so you know that he couldn't get abused in that game anyway. He only barely had over 100 pitches, which is what Noah Syndergaard's been throwing in four innings recently. So that was unbelievable. So Hop Hog will move on and face Miller Place, pending the weather today, which it doesn't look good. So let's say it'll be tomorrow. Another game that we cover, Connectquot and Bayshore. Obviously, Bayshore was the Cinderellas of the playoffs so far. They had knocked off the number one seed Smithtown East last week, and they also beat Connectquot in an unbelievable game, 1-0 on Thursday. And that was part of that weird suspended game that it partially took place on Tuesday. They finished it up on Thursday over at Mariches. So they played at Mariches again yesterday. Joe Savino, I mean, what can you say about this kid? An 80-pitch complete game, one run, no earned runs for the second straight outing. He's coming off a complete game shutout against Newfield on 73 pitches. So if you're keeping score at home, that's 153 pitches to get through 14 innings. Savino is unbelievable. He is his value right now is skyrocketing. I mean, a 6'3 kid with that movement, that arm action, that metal on the mound, right? He checks off all the boxes. I mean, right now in my mind, he might be the best of the bunch of the 2019s. I'll have an article about that after the season once I digest it more. But, you know, that's a crowded group. You know, you got Jason Diaz, you got Max Nielsen, Anthony Cinquemani, some talented kids, Roman DeRoche. So, you know, Savino is right there in the mix, and he has put himself on the map really in a short period of time. Watched him earlier in the season in the Tim McHugh Grand Slam game after he came out. So Savino hasn't left anything up to chance. He's just been throwing complete games so that nobody can come in and give up a Grand Slam after him. So Connectquot lives to see another day. They will face Bayshore now for the third time in the postseason. Obviously, you got to like Connectquot's chances. I don't know who they're going to go with. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. I think they should probably pitch Alex Unger if he's on full rest. He is, in my mind, their second-best pitcher. All right, next game. I wasn't there, but Shawn Wading River, walk-off, 1-0 final. I mean, Ryan Mullahy has been dominant the last 2 years. He gets overshadowed, obviously, because of the presence of Brian Morrell last year. This year, Gabe Romano, You know, the Quinnipiac commit coming off a 14 strikeout shutout in the first game of the playoffs. Mulehi has just been steady as it goes for the last 2 years. Still has a complete game shutout. DJ Brown with the walk-off suicide squeeze with the bases loaded. I mean, that's a pretty gutsy call by Coach Willie, and obviously Brown executed it. And you could see from the Instagram comments that people come to expect that from Shoreham Wading River there. They find ways to win, and that's why, you know, that's why college coaches like to recruit from there. And they've arguably had the most successful run of generating college players and getting them ready for the next level. They've had guys drafted. We know about, you know, Keith Osick, Michael Riley in AAA now, Eric Strovang. I mean, they've had a terrific run. Tyler Osick now. So Shoreham Wading River, you know, I wrote the article last year on the best teams to recruit from, and I didn't put it in a numerical order. I put it in alphabetical order. I had, you know, about 20 schools, but, you know, over the last couple of years, they're arguably number one. I would say if not number one, then they're right in that mix in the short list with Ward Melville, Massapequa, Division and MacArthur. But at this point, you know, they have a strong case to be number one. They won the Suffolk A championship last year for the first time since 2012, and right now they're the favorites, you know, with Mulehi and Romano and a blossoming offense. They look really good right now. So another walk-off win for them. Another game that caught our attention was Wantagh. They are looking to go to win their third consecutive Long Island championship this year, an unprecedented achievement. I don't think that you can underestimate how great of a run this is for them. I mean, Anthony Fontana, who is a hitting prospect at first base, one of the better hitters on Long Island, has quietly put together an unbelievable stretch of pitching. Over the last 3 years, he's 21-1 on the mound. You know, he didn't get as much attention because he had Will O'Brien in 2016 and Jimmy Joyce. And all of a sudden, Anthony Fontana, you look at the stats, and he's 8-0 this year and throws a complete game shutout against Garden City in the semifinals. I mean, they've been on some run. He also hit two home runs yesterday, went 3-for-3. They're 20-2, and they haven't lost since April 26th. They've just been on a phenomenal run, and right now you'd have to look at them as the favorites in Class A. If not, they are right there with MacArthur and Division, which segues us into that game. We had our reporter Josh Rothstein there, Brandon Buchan. I mean, the kid has come from absolutely nowhere. Didn't pitch last year on varsity, threw 6 1/3 scoreless innings against rival Division at Division in an emotionally charged setting. I mean, this kid has been one of the unheralded stars on Long Island this year. I believe he has not lost or only has one loss this year so far, striking out close to two batters an inning. He is committed to Maritime, and he told me in a post-game interview that he doesn't want to play college baseball. So, Brandon, if you're listening, I will say this. Not a lot of lefties throw 87 miles an hour out of high school, and there's not a lot of 6'4" lefties. They don't grow on trees. I would definitely recommend giving it a shot to play college baseball, because that plays at the next level. And Coach Barbieri, you know, you won the championship 2 years in a row, and this is the kind of guy that that wins championships. So Brandon has done an outstanding job. He got backed by Joe Ricciardi, had an RBI hit, Ryan Wall, 2 RBI hit, and that's really all he needed. They won 9-0, and they'll be looking to close it out today, weather pending. Obviously, if not today, then tomorrow over Division, who has been red hot. Brandon Buchan outdueled Nick Fresley, who is one of the best players in the county this year. They also have Robert Bradley, who really impressed me when I watched him against North Shore back in the middle of April. Really nice outing, good-looking kid. Just threw strikes, were quick, and throws that knuckle drop like all those Division pitchers do. So, you know, if I was a betting man, I would say Wantagh and MacArthur look to be on a collision course in Class A. They are the two most complete teams right now. In Double A yesterday, we had the finish of that crazy suspended game between Plainview JFK and Port Washington. If you saw a post-game interview with Michael Cole on Sunday night, That, I think, summed up everybody's feelings. I thought it was hilarious because they, for some reason, started this game at Sunday night at 5 p.m. when they could have definitely started it earlier. I don't know the logistics, what went into it, but it seemed to me like weather not being an issue that they could have started this game earlier. Of course, what happens, a three-hour game that's 12 innings and has back and forth roller coaster of emotions. I mean, even as a fan, as the fans, you could see how emotionally charged it was. And even for me, who doesn't have a rooting interest there, you know, my heart started beating an extra couple pumps too per second. I mean, the toughness of Derek Livingston, a sophomore coming in the seventh inning and throwing five innings of relief. I mean, this kid, I don't know if it was a coping mechanism on the mound, but you saw him actually smiling out there while he was pitching. I think that was a way of him kind of coping with his nerves with 200, 300 people in the stands. And, I mean, he showed some real toughness. He gives up the game-tying hit, though. Finally, he cracks in his fifth or sixth inning of relief where Michael Rothstein ties up the game with an RBI hit. They wind up getting bases loaded, the winning run 90 feet away, and he strikes out the next two batters. And then by that time, it was dark. It was about 8 o'clock, and they agreed to play the next day. And Tyler Marinaccio, who also was responsible for Plainview's only run on Sunday with the opposite field solo home run, comes through with a huge RBI hit, walk off to send them to the semifinals. So really no surprise about that Plainview will be playing in the semifinals, but you know, they've really got taken to the edge by a dangerous Port Washington team. Port Washington obviously has a conference MVP, the Access Conference MVP in Jack Stolper, who hit .525 this year, led the team, just had an outstanding season. And Alex Chang, you know, he was another reason that they made it this far. Just a really good season for the Vikings, a step forward for that program for sure. Next game we'll talk about, St. John the Baptist in Chaminade. I was there. Ton of people that were there at St. Joseph's. It was an absolutely gorgeous night for baseball. It was about 65 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. It's a perfect setting. This game really took on a couple different twists and turns. So it was 1-0 after Tom Force's RBI hit early on. Logan O'Hoppe, who led the conference in hitting and home runs and RBIs, and is the best defensive catcher in the conference, or Long Island for that matter, had a bases-clearing double, opens up a 4-0 lead. They end up getting a fifth run when Chaminade's pitcher makes an errant throw on a pickoff attempt to first base, lets the runner score coming home. Now it's 5-0. The game looks like it's over. Kevin Czech-Zotka, uncommitted senior southpaw from St. John the Baptist, was in a groove. This kid, he reminds me of you know, a lesser velocity version of Cole Hamels. Same delivery, same demeanor. Good curveball, changeup, great pickoff move. He was in control. He was stifling Chaminade's hitter for most of the game. And then he just had command issues out of nowhere. It just happened. You could just see he was fighting himself. Winds up walking three guys in the fifth inning, throws two wild pitches that score runs. And that was a huge moment because now all of a sudden, Chaminade had life where they really looked like they were sleepwalking for the first few innings, and that was really a game-changing moment. The next crucial moment in the next inning, in top of the sixth inning, reliever Giancarlo comes in, gets the first two batters out, ground ball to shortstop, EJ Exposito ranges far to his right, shows off that cannon of an arm, umpire calls him out, everybody goes into the dugout, we look like we're headed to the bottom of the sixth inning. But wait, Coach Mike Piankos comes out, complains that the first baseman came off the bag, Ryan Watson. The umpires confer, and they ruled that in fact is the case, that he came off the base. Everybody has to go back onto the field. Chaminade takes advantage of this. Brendan O'Hara hits a two-run double, and that was after Logan Kester, his RBI double. So the game is now tied. It went from being 5-2 going into the bottom of the sixth, and now it's 5-5, still in the top of the sixth. Giancarlo gets out of the inning. In the bottom of the sixth inning, St. John the Baptist loads up the bases, and Tom Force once again does it. Absolutely smokes one to right center field. Bases clearing triple. Crowd goes wild. St. John the Baptist goes wild. They end up taking the 8-5 lead, and at that point, it looked like the game was over. Giancarlo goes back out there for the top of the seventh inning, runs into some trouble. Chaminade gets their first two runners on base. Who comes in? The shortstop, E.J. Exposito, from the infield, comes in, throws absolute gas, sitting 85, 86, strikes out. The middle of the order, you got Aiden Larkin, you got Paul Orban, and Jack Peluso, three of the best hitters in the conference. Just good morning, good afternoon, good night. Last pitch of the game, 87 miles an hour. Not bad from an infielder that hasn't pitched too much this year. Coach McKay said he was kind of like his secret weapon this year. Everybody knows about Czechzotka. And he just happened to have this mid-80s pitcher just waiting in the wings. So they're a dangerous team. That's another win. And how about Tom Forrest? I mean, he is a force, no pun intended there. Coach McKay said that in the last regular season game, he made a catch, dove up against the wall in the outfield, hit his head against the wall, starts bleeding profusely. They almost had to call the game. Paramedic comes out, coaches come out to see if he's okay, concerned for him. And what does he say? I want to stay in the game, he said. His mother was all concerned, and this kid is more concerned about staying in the game. So he ends up just getting cleared, and what does he do? He drives in four runs in a playoff game in front of 300 people at St. Joseph. So they will have another test today. Actually, it has been canceled. I just received word. So they will play tomorrow. It's supposed to be beautiful out, which is good news, at St. Joseph's against a dangerous St. Dominic team that's red hot. But luckily for them, they won't have to face Carlos Hidalgo, which leads us into my next game. Hidalgo, who recently committed to St. John's as a potential two-way player, threw a four-hit complete game shutout against St. Anthony's, 1-0. St. Anthony's, obviously, another talented team. So Hidalgo, that's no small task to shut out a team like that is just loaded with players. St. Anthony's, you know, kids like Stephen Rizzo, Anthony D'Onofrio, Jake Barrett, just they have a very, very strong team. So I don't think we've seen the last of St. Anthony's. They have Holy Trinity. St. Anthony's has the better record. So let's assume St. Anthony's advances. We might see them again later on in the weekend, which will be at Hofstra for the remainder of the tournament. Another game I wanted to talk about was West Islip. I mean, what can you say about them? They've won 17 games in a row. We've only covered one of their games, but, you know, assuming now that they're in the semifinals, that's two more games they'll have play at least. And then if they advance, they will be in the Suffolk County Finals, which right now it looks like they're on a collision course with Comac or Longwood they will face. Mike Ladonna, walk-off hit. Bobby DiCapua, I mean, the kid is a sophomore. He's won seven games this season. He threw eight shutout innings. They weren't supposed to be this good this soon, but something in the water over there, or whatever Coach Rush has instilled in those guys, they just don't miss a beat. I mean, 17 games in a row in a year where, you know, a year after they graduated, Greg Souprakis and Joe Valentino and Tom Gatto, guys that were, you know, the crux of their team last year, and they've actually been better. So I'm out of explanations. They continue to amaze. So they will face Comac or Longwood, which Comac and Longwood will play another game. They look like they are pretty evenly matched at this point. I mean, we've spoken about Longwood's tenacity, their pitching rotation of three college kids, college recruits, Jared Vanderhoof with the complete game win, big strikeout of Tim McHugh in a big spot the other day. Kyle Rausch, I mean, the kid is 8-for-13 in the playoffs so far. 7-for-10. He had the go-ahead home run on Friday against Hills East. He had the go-ahead RBI triple. And we're not talking about eight singles. We're talking about extra base hits in huge spots. This kid has ice in his veins. He is going to be a hot name this summer. I mean, Kyle Rausch, obviously we know about his brother Sean, the Division I player and former All-American wide receiver standout at Longwood. Rausch put himself on the map. I had only gotten a chance to see him at the PBR showcase back in February that I was at, and he had those outrageous measurables. I think he had a 96 exit velocity and like a something like a 6.7 60 yard dash and mid high 80s raw arm strength. I mean, from a measurable point of view. He's a freak, just like his brother, and they're reaping the benefits of it. Obviously, he has the tenacity too to go along with it. So that's all the stuff I wanted to go over for today. It does look like there's going to be a washout today. Right now, we're a couple hours from game time, but I've already gotten word of a couple games canceled. So at this point, I'm hoping that it does get canceled because tomorrow is supposed to be much nicer. And at that point, you know, we could actually play games in good weather and not have them be suspended like last week, which was an absolute disaster. So just want to say thank you for following along and tuning in. This has been the Axis Baseball Podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Vinny Massana.